Welcome to part two of our interview with Laura regarding Haunted Bobby Mackey's Music World. Is there any increased activity in the area of that, what was called a well, which is really just a tunnel? Is there anything down there that that sets any of the meters off, or there's a likelihood of getting EVPs or anything more likely in that part of the building?
I think so. I think the well room is probably one of the most active rooms in the building. And we have heard growling down there, which, again, people think of here that they hear growls and they automatically assume that's something demonic or something evil. And it may be, I couldn't tell you, but we have heard growling down there with no explanation for it. And it's not a small, it sounds like a dog. It doesn't sound like some small animal that would have somehow gotten in the basement. It sounds big, like a dog. And I can't explain that. But we've heard it many times in the well room.
This is really just a matter of opinion, but my question would be, why do you think Bobby Mackey's is the bus stop for ghosts? What is it about that building that seems to either be the starting point or a waypoint for spirits?
Honestly, I don't know. But that kind of leads back to people believing, why people would believe that is because they believe that there have been satanic rituals there in the past and that people have conjured different demons to come in there. I don't necessarily believe that. I think there could be some natural reasons for why it's sort of a magnet for spirits. You do have the Licking River directly behind the building, and people believe that flowing water can kind of, you know, be a conduit for spiritual activity. There's a lot of limestone in this part of the country. I've heard that there's a fault line that runs near Mackey's. I'm not a geologist, so I couldn't tell you if that's actually true, but Bobby himself has said that when they were trying to do some work and actually add on to the building and they had a survey done, that they discovered there was a fault line running through the parking lot. So if that is true, again, if you have two plates of earth pushing on each other, that's going to create, you know, some kind of electromagnetic field that, again, could be some sort of magnet. You also have train tracks directly behind the building, which, again, people believe that that could also provide the energy for spirits to come. And then, of course, you could go back to the oldest story there is that the land was cursed just from a very long time ago. And a lot of people believe that the land was cursed.
What is the story behind the curse of the land?
Well, there's a couple different ones. I've heard that Native Americans cursed the land, and that they used to, the river with blood. Again, I'm not very familiar with those stories. I don't know if they're true. But there's also another very popular story, which I might as well go ahead and tell you, the story of Pearl Bryant, because it relates to her. She was a young lady from Indiana, and she was pregnant. This was 1896. Her boyfriend's name was Scott Jackson, and he had a friend named Alonzo Walling. And they, you know, 1896, unwed and pregnant, it was not a good situation. So Scott and Alonzo got Pearl to come over to Cincinnati, which is right across the river from us. And they had been buying different types of drugs. They had been spotted for several days in different pharmacies buying some different drugs that they gave to Pearl over the course of several days, I guess maybe trying to induce some sort of miscarriage. It didn't work. She just got very, very ill. They eventually hired a horse and cab to bring them across the river into Kentucky. The guy that was driving the cab said that when they brought her out of this building, that she was, you know, she could hardly walk. She seemed very sick or drunk. He didn't know what was wrong with her. But as they're driving along, he could hear her crying, moaning in the back of the cab. And he actually pulled over, his testimony in court at their trial, he said he pulled over in front of the distillery, which would have been right where we are, right where Mackey's is. He pulled over in front of the distillery and told them to get out, and they refused. And in fact, Alonzo pulled a gun on him and told him to keep going. So he went a little farther. He went over the hill into what is now Fort Thomas, and there was a farm. He dropped them off there. He said he heard Pearl scream one time and then he never heard another sound. And he took off on foot, left his horse and everything behind. He just took off on foot and ran. But what had happened was they killed Pearl. They cut her head off while she was still alive. And her body was found there on the farm, but they never found the head. So the legend goes that Scott and Alonzo brought the head to the slaughterhouse that supposedly Mackie sits on, which we know is not true now. But the legend is they brought the head there, did some kind of satanic ritual, and threw the head down the well. And, you know, that's where that story came from. There's also both that Scott and Alonzo were hung. They were convicted of their crime, and they were hung in Newport in 1897. And supposedly Scott Jackson said right before, you know, they dropped the gallows that he would come back and curse and haunt this land forever. So, again, I think that's where a lot of the legend of the land being cursed comes from. It's from that.
And what a tragic story that is.
It is. It really is.
What? Let me ask you your opinion on this first, and then I want to hear what maybe some others' opinions may be. Do you feel that there is anything dark or demonic at Bobby Mackey's?
Personally, I do not. I don't, but okay. Other people do.
Why do other people feel that way? Aside from the accounts from years ago, from Carl, but more so today's investigators, anyone who feels that way today, what do they base that on?
Well, I mean, I would say they base it on Carl's stories, and they base it on the things they've seen on TV and the stories they've heard, because I've honestly never had someone come on a tour and then leave saying that there's demons in the building. I've just never had that happen. So I think a lot of people either will flat out refuse to come because they're afraid that it's demonic or evil, or they might think that coming in, but then when they leave and nothing terrible happened to them, you know, they may change their opinion on that.
Okay. I was just curious, because obviously that's one of the more common things, and you're aware of that, that people say about the building and its spirits that reside there. As far as why they reside there, and I know we talked about the, you know, kind of a waypoint. Is there any one spirit there that you could say, or that you think is not just passing through, one that calls it home, if you will?
I think so. I think the shuffler in the basement, he is, for whatever reason, he walks the way he does. He's there a lot, and I think he stays there. A lot of people believe that Carl is still there. Denise, Bobby's wife, claims to see Carl quite often, standing at the bar in the same spot that he used to stand when he was alive. And other people have seen Carl and heard Carl as well. And Carl was very attached to that building. Mm-hmm. You know, he was terrified of it on one hand, but on the other hand, he was very attached to it. So I believe there's a possibility that Carl could still be there as well.
When EVP sessions are done or voice box sessions are done and someone is trying to reach out, and you said quite commonly they reach out to Johanna, which again cannot be confirmed that she even existed. Is there ever responses back when people are reaching out to her that may point in a direction of maybe there is some legitimacy to her existence?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. I want to say no, but I have had people who have gone in the basement with the intention of talking to Johanna, and they will get a female voice in response, and they are convinced that that is Johanna. However, the EVP, the voice on the recorder, has never said, "Hi, I'm Johanna." It just happens to be a female voice replying to them, and they will take that, you know, that's their own interpretation, that the voice coming back at them is in fact Johanna.
Sure.
So
I understand. You said when the mob had control over the area, you said that they had run that former owner out of town, and obviously violence is something that would be easily attributed to the mob. And I know there's no real extreme records of what they did. But I'm just curious, is there any stories or records as to how they ran the former owner out of town when they wanted to take over that building?
They had sent one of their henchmen several times to try to, you know, strong arm him out. Mm-hmm. And Buck actually tried to shoot the guy. His name was Red Masterson. Buck actually tried to shoot him because the guy was just coming after him all the time. So he waited for him to come out of a restaurant and he shot him. He didn't kill him. And he actually took off and ran on foot, and the police found him hiding in an outhouse of all places. They arrested Buck and were going to charge him with, you know, attempted murder and all this. But somehow the mob, the Cleveland Syndicate, got it dismissed. They wouldn't press charges, and Red wouldn't press charges against him because they wanted to handle it in their own way, which they did. And I honestly don't know the details of how they got Buck to leave town. Who knows? They could have threatened his family. They could have threatened him. I don't really know, because again, they don't really write down the records of what they did. All we know is that they bought the club from him for a very small amount of money and sent him off to Florida. But a few years after he moved down to Florida, he committed suicide, or so they said. But he did die just a few years after he moved down to Florida once he left here. So, you know, maybe he committed suicide. Maybe it looked like a suicide. We don't really know.
Sure. Today, with all of the activity, all the stories that come out of Bobby Mackey's, not only ones that you know, you've experienced from your investigations and your tours, but, you know, just people visiting and telling stories. We've had, I couldn't even tell you how many have written in or called into our show over the years where the name Bobby Mackey's comes up, probably in the top 10 of all locations.
Wow.
Of, you know, literally tens of thousands of stories. With all of that, with that sheer volume, what is Bobby's opinion today of the haunting? Does he still feel that there's nothing going on and this is all in people's minds, or what? Do you know what he thinks today, what his opinion is?
Well, the last time I talked to him about it specifically, I mean, that's probably been a year or so ago that we actually sat down and talked about it. But yeah, he still feels the same way, that he doesn't believe. He's happy that people are coming.
Sure.
and want to experience it, but he himself does not really believe that there's anything going on, which I have a hard time accepting that, because I just can't imagine him being in the club as often as he is, that he has never experienced anything that he can't explain. Now, his wife, Denise, on the other hand, she does believe. And, you know, I guess he just kind of laughs it off when she tells him stories. But she doesn't like to come in the club by herself. And if she ever has to, she's told me that she will call him or call a friend on her phone and put it on speaker, so that she's walking in with this person on speakerphone, so that, you know, technically she's not alone when she does that, and she'll run in and grab whatever she needs and run right back out again. And I don't think Bobby will come in alone. I don't think he would ever say that, but as far as I know, he doesn't come to the club alone.
Other than the paranormal explanations, where someone is trying to explain why there might be activity there from the fault line to the river to the railroad tracks and things of that nature, has there ever been any sort of explanation or anything given for any of the activity that is, I guess, what others would call logical, that is provable not to be paranormal, but simply something else, squirrels or what have you? Has there ever been any instances at Bobby's where it's been a very, you know, scary or questionable situation of, we think this is paranormal, but it turned out to be something other than that?
There have been a few. And now, as far as animals in the basement, I can't sit here and tell you that there are none. Because there's holes in the walls in the basement. There have been bats in there. I've seen bats in the basement. I've never seen mice, which is a very common thing that people will blame stuff on. Like, I've been on tours with very skeptical people, and every time we hear something move or something that sounds like it's fallen over, they'll be like, oh, that's mice. There's mice. There has to be mice in the basement. Well, I mean, maybe there are mice in the basement. I can tell you honestly, I have never seen a mouse. That doesn't mean they're not there. I've never seen one. I've never seen mouse droppings. I mean, my grandmother used to have mice in her house, and you would see the droppings everywhere. And I've never seen that at Mackey's, which is odd. So yeah, as far as there being an animal explanation, there could be. Now, the growls we've heard, no small animal like a mouse or a squirrel would make a growl like that. So I can't say that that's an animal. But as far as debunking things, there was one common thing that used to happen a lot. We used to see streaks of light, especially we would come down the stairs from Carl's apartment and we would turn a corner, and I saw it, I don't know how many times, very many, the 20, 25 times, I would see the streak of light as soon as I walked around the corner. And it was so common, and it happened so often, I thought there has to be a reason for that, but it would always scare people. And what I found out later is that there's a pool table there on the left, right when you come around the corner, and if you have a flashlight in your hand, there's a metal strip across the top of the pool table, and as soon as you come around the corner, your flashlight will hit that, and the light will shoot across the floor. But that scared hundreds of people, seeing that light go across the floor. And, you know, I hate to bust their bubble that it wasn't anything paranormal, but, you know, we have to be honest with these things. And sure, if something can be debunked, it needs to be.
Sure. No, I completely agree. And that's not to discount the things that actually do happen. It's just a matter of narrowing it down. What are your hopes for Bobby Mackey's in the future? What are Bobby's hopes as well for the club, 20, 30 years down the road? Where do you see it? What do you hope for it?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I mean, Bobby is 70 years old, or he's about to be 70. I'm sorry, I don't really know, but he is 70 years old. I have a feeling he will keep performing as long as he possibly can. As for the building itself, I mean, it's very old. Let's be honest. It's very old. It really does not, it's never had any, I guess, structural reinforcements over the years. I mean, it's never been remodeled or... It's an old building, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, I think there may come a point where something major has to be done to it to keep it safe for people, or they'll have to shut it down. But, I mean, I don't know when that would ever happen. It is perfectly safe now, but, you know, like I said, it is an old building, and you have to keep that in mind that, you know, it might not last forever. But Bobby probably will. He'll probably sing there, you know, indefinitely. If a ghost is going to come back, it'll probably be him, and he'll be up on the stage.
I was just going to say that would be the most interesting thing. The man who, throughout his life, denied it being haunted, ends up being one of the biggest ghosts in the property many years from now. That concludes our interview with Laura regarding Bobby Mackey's Music World. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi for The Grave Talks. Thanks for listening.